You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, February the 22nd, and two losses, but an emerging piece at point guard. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well.
And I'm Brother Brian, and I'm saving the funny stuff for Fridays.
Just mailing in on a Monday morning like we all are here, so appreciate that. But today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we got details on two losses on the road for the Detroit Pistons. Also going to look ahead to Tuesday night a little bit too. Talk about the point guard position, which has come into extreme focus for the Pistons with one player out with an injury, another player out with an injury, one player playing on the New York Knicks right now, a couple two-way guys that might factor into this somewhere soon, and a reclamation project as well. We'll talk about what rookie stepped up on Sunday night and what young veterans need to as well. Later on, I put up a poll on Twitter last week about what Pistons fans think of the Blake Griffin buyout, how much money he might give up, and why I feel a little bit uneasy about the whole conversation. We'll get Brother Brian's thoughts on that as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Of course, give Brother Brian a follow as a late birthday present to him at B-Shook12, and the Play Michigan Twitter account, Play_Michigan as well. Brother Brian joining us on a Monday, putting him in the overtime of overtime of overtime lately. Really appreciate his help and insight. How's it going today?
Doing well. I'm actually over 100 followers now, so thank you for the Locked On Pistons fans for all the follows that have come over the last couple of months. I feel like a celebrity at this point.
Yeah, that kind of thing continues to roll downhill like a snowball, so you'll be at 200 before you know it, and then it's all gravy from there. It's straight to the moon from there. A couple notes. First one, kind of a programming note. Don't expect a Tuesday show tomorrow. Just planning on taking a little bit of a day off. Now, of course, if there's breaking news or something big happens, some Blake Griffin resolution, you know, we'll hop on and get you an episode, but just planning on taking a Tuesday off. So we're basically previewing the Tuesday game against the Magic today as well. So that's kind of the plan for now. Other big NBA news breaking kind of before we just started is that the Minnesota Timberwolves have let go of Ryan Saunders, son of the late Flip Saunders, former Pistons coach, and he is now no longer. They lost to the Knicks tonight, and we know here in Pistons land how poorly the Timberwolves season is going. They got Russell out for a couple more weeks here, and Karl-Anthony Towns has been out for a lot of the season as well. He's back now, but not only that, so Woj broke the news that that Saunders is out. Then Shams comes through off the top rope and breaks the news that Chris Finch is apparently going to be hired as the coach of the Timberwolves. He comes over from the Raptors, where he was an assistant coach there too. So interesting stuff. Gerson Rosas making some moves there as well. Sachin Gupta, former front office member of the Detroit Pistons, making a move with the Minnesota Timberwolves instead. So maybe a little bit more of a analytic-friendly coaching decision there coming from the brain front office that we know the Toronto Raptors to be as well. So we'll see how that all shakes out. And, of course, big impact on the Pistons as the Pistons lose tonight to fall to 8-22. Minnesota Timberwolves are 7-24. And we know in the sad, pathetic bottom of the NBA, we're always watching those Minnesota Timberwolves. So maybe a little shot in the arm for them this season, which could benefit the Pistons in draft position. But two games this weekend, Friday night and Sunday. Brian's got the details. Let's start in Memphis on Friday night, Brian.
Yeah, and this game started off really slowly as the first quarter was the biggest deficit the Pistons have faced in any one quarter as they were down by 18 after the first quarter and kind of tried to work their way back quite a bit, but just couldn't really get over the hump as they fell to the Grizzlies 109-95 And just it was a long night in Memphis for the team.
Yeah, they got it back to a competitive level there in the third, late third and early fourth, but then just too much Ja Morant, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That he was the key to this whole thing. Jeremy Grant and DeLon Wright each scored 16 for the Pistons to lead them. DeLon Wright obviously had to leave the game because he ended up tweaking his right groin. That's going to have him missing a pretty decent amount of time here. It'll be kind of a tough job for the Pistons to see how they're going to figure out this point guard position over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll be talking plenty about the point guard today, but some pretty big numbers for the other point guard on Friday night.
Oh, yeah, Ja Morant scored 29 points and could really basically just get anywhere on the floor he wanted. Even, I believe it was in the third quarter, he kind of had gone on a little streak there where he hit a couple of pretty easy shots in the lane, and he gave the, oh, this is, I'm sleepy, this is so easy, wave to the crowd. So, yeah, he had 29 on 9 of 10 free throw shooting. A couple double-doubles in the game on Friday night. For Jonas Valanciunas for the Grizzlies, went for 17 and 15, while Mason Plumlee got his sixth double-double of the year to go along with his one triple-double, obviously going 10 points and 15 rebounds for the team.
Yeah, and a nice night for Sadiq Bey as well, I believe, 14 mm-hmm. and 4 three-pointers as well. I think he hit the over on his three-pointers, but he needed one more point to hit a FanDuel promo bet that I believe Mike Valeni had something to do with. I couldn't really connect the dots there.
Yeah, and then rolling into Orlando here on Sunday night, a 105-96 loss in a game that I think I felt kind of had the same, not as exaggerated in the first quarter, but kind of the same tone. You get down early. They fought it back to just a two-point deficit after the first quarter, but you get down far enough, you're chasing the whole game, and it kind of saps at least the energy out of the viewing experience because you kind of write off that this one isn't going to be a win. They come back a little bit late to do make it competitive in the fourth quarter, but then it kind of reengages Orlando, and they pull away there at the end.
I've always had weird vibes about the Pistons in these last several years playing in Orlando. It's just kind of a dead arena, I think, and obviously with the pretty much no fans there at this game, there was some. But it's just Pistons magic, not exactly the most electric thing these last several years. And a game that Orlando maybe can't be so happy with how it went throughout the entirety of it, but was also pretty much in control. So they're kind of sleepwalking through it a little bit too. And like we kind of talked about before recording here, it's almost like the Pistons are, they're not slacking. This isn't a team that we need to call out for their energy or effort, but it's not that A-plus energy that we get sometimes, especially in these big games that they've won against these great teams throughout the league. But it's like we're almost getting like an A-minus energy, which is great and good, and we're happy about it. But at the same time, you can't have that and beat a team that's better than you and not have a point guard and all that.
And at the end of the day, the shooting's just been bad over the last 2.5 games, and you're just not going to win NBA basketball games when you're shooting below 40% for the night and below 30% from three like the Pistons did on Sunday night. Although one guy who's been kind of broke out of a little bit of a small shooting slump again was Jeremy Grant. He was 8 for 16 from the floor. He had 24 points and 5 rebounds and 6 of 6 from the free throws. And I kind of want to touch on this because I don't get talked about enough. Jeremy Grant has hit 26 of his last 27 free throws. He's shooting over 90% from the line in February and 89% for the year. This guy is a career 69% free throw shooter, and while he's improved every year, he's making a leap this year where he was shooting 75% last year, and he's jumped it up all the way to 89% right now. And I know it's half of a season, but this, you know, how he's shooting, he's only missed more than one free throw in one game since January 8th. And I think that whether he's worked on this in the offseason or the other variable is, you know, the crowd, maybe he's more a little more distracted by crowds that aren't there right now so that he's able to focus in a little bit more on. But whatever he's doing, this part of his game's taking a huge leap, as other parts of his game have as well. But this one I don't hear getting talked about as much.
Yeah, he is just making leaps and bounds in his entire game. And I think it's the consistency, and obviously free throws are that is what it is consistency. And you got to do the same things every time. You mentioned a little bit of a shooting lull lately for him, the Chicago game notwithstanding, but like maybe you expected that this would be sailing and cruising into the All-Star break here, but no, I mean, he's playing hard every night. He started off pretty well tonight, which helped his overall shooting numbers, but it seemed like the more aggressive player was his teammate off the bench that's breaking out a little bit too.
And aggressive Josh Jackson is best Josh Jackson. He got his first double-double of the season, 17 points, 10 rebounds. One thing, he was 7 of 23 from the floor. He took 23 shots. The next highest Piston was Grant with 16.
Yeah, and we'll talk plenty about Saben Lee's game off the bench too, but who else kind of stood out to you? I mean, to me, those were kind of the three guys that that got like B or better grades tonight.
Saddiq Bey did have a stretch there in the third quarter where he hit a couple threes, along with, and it was good to see Dennis Smith Jr. Knock a couple down there, maybe get a little bit of a monkey off his back from some lack of offensive production or success. So it was nice to see a couple of those shots go down.
So six games, all of them winnable, you know, that they could be won, but also with the point guard situation, a chance that the team could really fall into something of a deep losing streak heading in to the All-Star break. But up next, we're going to talk about that point guard position. A lot of directions to go with the conversation, some good, some bad, some sad. And that's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first,
Brother Brian here, and BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Over the weekend, the Pistons did not cover in both of the games and have now not covered in three straight against the BetOnline.ag spread, and the unders come over three times in a row for Pistons games as well. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Yes, sir!
We are covering everything you need to know about the Detroit Pistons, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast. Join here for Mondays with Brian, Brother Brian, here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Reminder, planning on no show tomorrow. We'll be back on Wednesday to recap game two of this series between the Pistons and the Orlando Magic. Also, big game from Bruce Brown on Sunday night as the Brooklyn Nets knocked off the Los Angeles Clippers in what should have been the Luke Kennard-Bruce Brown battle, but Luke has got a little bit of a sore knee right now and was held out of Friday's game. I think he was active and available for Sunday's game, but did not get in. Kawhi Leonard gets called for an offensive foul on one that was sold by James Harden late on ESPN, and the Nets hold on. Big game from Bruce. But speaking of, I guess, the point guard situation and Bruce Brown, who used to be a part of that for the Detroit Pistons, a lot of angles that we can cover here, but let's start with the nice play on Sunday night from rookie Saben Lee, the two-way player, second-round pick out of Vanderbilt, and son of Amp Lee, my favorite Saben Lee fact. What was his numbers? How did that end up for Sunday night?
Saben Lee had 12 points, four rebounds, five assists, and three steals. So kind of impacted all facets of the game. Was 4 of 7 from the floor. Didn't see a lot of perimeter stuff, and he certainly – his right hand dominant and goes to his right and pretty much exclusively at this point. But, you know, in all the games he's gotten into this year, he always brings good energy and a confidence. Every time he touches the floor, he tries to put somebody on a poster. It hasn't worked quite yet, but he's a little bit of a stepping stool here. I don't remember what your tweet was about. Used Vooch's boots to trampoline or whatever. But he's going to put somebody on a poster here eventually as the minutes keep coming.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the highlight of Saben Lee trying to rise through and over Nikola Vucevic, you want to check that one out. I mean, he must have saw Anthony Edwards on Friday night and tried to one-up his fellow rookie in that one. But Saben Lee, yeah, you mentioned the limitations. The shooting is clearly not there. Teams are going to sag off of him and probably push him to the left hand at some point. But really encouraging signs. You know, this is his best game as a pro, obviously, and something that he can build on. Led the Pistons in assists with 5 assists, and it could have had more if they knocked down some shots for him as well. So yeah, if you can get something close to that most nights, you'd be really happy out of a second round pick rookie point guard. So naturally, I mean, you saw that he comes in the first quarter and stays for the entire rest of the second half, and as Dennis Smith Jr. really struggled early on, but then, as Brian mentioned earlier, played not had this amazing 30-second sequence where he knocks down 2 3-pointers and gets a steal of Vucevic as well, digging into the post. But, you know, it's not time to start. Smith was just out for so long. He hasn't really played in the NBA up until these last couple weeks. There's no rush for the Pistons right now. It's not time to start. And again, if this Dennis Smith thing, if he gets waived in a month and, you know, never resurfaces for the Pistons, that doesn't mean the Rose trade was bad. You roll the dice, you still get a quality second-round pick out of the deal. And you make a few of these moves, these types of moves, and hopefully one or two times out of three or four of these moves, it works out pretty well, and this might just not be that time. But, you know, you got to figure that Dennis Smith, while a guy like Sfi should take the All-Star break and go to a beach somewhere and try to clear his head for the three-point difficulties he's having this season, you got to feel like Dennis Smith has got to be in a gym somewhere working off some sweat and getting back into what is game shape, because he looks fine athletically, but not Dennis Smith fine, because he needs to be the athletic marvel that he was his first couple of years. And maybe the injuries have sapped some of that completely, but he's got to get back to that Saban Lee type of athleticism to become the player that he could be and the player that he was coming into the draft.
And yet, even if he does that, the perimeter shooting between both of these guys we're talking about, Dennis Smith Jr. and Saben Lee, it's just something that's not there for either of them, never really has been. So it's still going to be a position here in the NBA that they're going to be getting limited production out of from on the perimeter, which is really going to hurt some spacing on the floor. So the fact that DeLon Wright was shooting as well as he's been playing, you know, shooting as well as he's been shooting, playing as well as he's been playing for the Pistons, has had to keep teams a little bit more honest than maybe they're going to have to be here in the near future while DeLon Wright mends.
Yeah, and a couple words about DeLon Wright. You mentioned has been playing really well lately, out for 2 weeks and will be reevaluated or that. So to me, it sounds like out until the All-Star break, and then we'll take a look, you know, after another few days off during the All-Star break there too. So we'll see. Certainly you want him back as quickly as possible. You got the March 25th trade deadline. To me, this probably removes him from the equation of being traded, or at least being the centerpiece of a deal. Now, if you have a bigger deal out there and he's a piece of it, I don't think this injury precludes him from being part of that. But as far as like selling off DeLon Wright to try to get something for it, I think that might be that ship has sailed. Not that it was a slam dunk or even super realistic anyway. And really, we talked about this with Mason Plumlee. You know, DeLon Wright's under contract for next year. Mason Plumlee's under contract for 2 years after this year. And yes, they're both playing well. And they're playing well enough where you could trade them and get a little something for them. But I think that more important than that little something for the Pistons, given that they're not expiring contracts right now, would be to hold on to them and keep solid veterans around. That's the reason that they're here. They're Dwayne Casey and Troy Weaver guys, so it makes a lot of sense. Now, next year, we could be having a different conversation about both these guys, particularly DeLon Wright with his walk year next year as well. So to me, that kind of takes that out of the equation. And then, you know, I'll throw a little bit of water on Saben Lee's fine performance in that the Orlando Magic, with Markel Fultz out for the year, with Cole Anthony out right now, they started Michael Carter-Williams at point guard. So if there's one team that you can go in with weak point guard play right now in the NBA, the Orlando Magic just might be that best case scenario for that. So things will get a little bit tougher. And I guess the sad part of the other side of the coin is think about the players and the teams that Killian Hayes had to go up against right now, and whether, you know, what he could be doing against another young guy in Kobe White and maybe challenging himself against John Morant, but then getting minutes against Michael Carter-Williams and some of those players, and Derrick Rose next week a couple times as well. So it would have been nice, obviously, the injury.
Yeah, and also, yeah, Killian Hayes being out is, you know, probably the biggest story of the point guard situation for Detroit right now. So the fact we're mentioning it last reminds us how long ago and how much we've had to deal with without Killian Hayes at this point. And we're probably still a couple of weeks before he's going to be reevaluated again. I think that's around the All-Star break too, as it's going to work out. But yeah, it is. And then it also stunts the growth of a lot of other people. When you're not, you know, don't have that strong point guard play, you're not going to be getting the most out of the pieces that you do have that are functioning at other places. And although one thing I did want to mention specifically about Saben Lee that we haven't yet, the pace on his passes is just, it's noticeable from anywhere else. He really slings the ball, and he does pass some guys. He did pass some guys open tonight. So there is a spark, a playmaking spark there at least. I haven't seen that piece from Dennis Smith Jr. yet. I don't know if we will. I don't know if that's something that will come with time with the team. But from Saban Lee, I saw some playmaking spark, and I think that's the biggest thing that we're missing with Killian is how these other guys are going to feed off him if he's going to be the point guard of the future that these guys are going to have to get used to catching passes from.
Yeah, I love that pace of the passes. That's something that you know a guy's a point guard if he's throwing passes like that. Cade Cunningham, that's something that jumps off the screen to me about him. One more thing about the Pistons point guard situation, the forgotten guy is Frank Jackson. He's the other two-way guy. Saben Lee and Frank Jackson are two-way guys right now, which means they can only spend a certain amount of days with the Pistons. They extended that days this year because of the pandemic, but Frank Jackson was active on Sunday night, did not play. So he seems a little odd man outish at this point to me as someone who has NBA experience, played in the bubble, and he's been on the injured list a few times, so maybe there is some health issues that he's kind of dealing with right now. But the fact that Saben Lee is very clearly ahead of him in the pecking order right now doesn't spell good for him going forward. So I would, we'll keep an eye on it. And again, there's no, maybe there's someone that they're scouting and looking at or watching in the G League bubble that they're going to try to bring in and maybe waive Jackson. We'll see how that all kind of shakes out in time. But another thing to keep in mind is that if Blake Griffin gets waived and the Pistons are one more short guy, that Jackson and Lee, and certainly Lee at this point, might be playing for a roster spot with the Pistons and come off that two-way contract. And that would be nice because you could backfill with another wing or big man in that second two-way spot as well. So some options out there for the Pistons, but we're going to talk about that Blake Griffin situation and how uneasy it is to talk about money sometimes, particularly when it's a strange situation for a very likable Detroit Piston. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. But first, got to tell you guys about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious. 18 amazing flavors, including non and nut flavors. You got the 6 new ones right now: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Add those to the 12 OGs, flavors such as toffee almond and raspberry. These sound good, they are good, and they can get you through the day. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They're also healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy. You lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for the keto diet. Let me tell you about some of these macros. For cherry barcia, 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs as well. That's not going to screw you up on any diet, and that's going to be good and good for you as well. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Listen to Locked On NBA on Mondays. Josh Lloyd, host of our wildly popular Locked On Fantasy Basketball, takes you around the NBA's major headlines with the help of our local experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast today, wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for joining us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm your host, Matt Shook. He is brother Brian. Brian, let's talk a little bit about Tuesday as the Pistons and Magic will be back in action.
Yeah, the Pistons are going to try to snap that 3-game losing streak and get their third win on the road. They're only 2-14 away from Little Caesars Arena this year. Yeah, so they're back in Amway Center in Orlando on Tuesday night, taking on the same Orlando Magic. But it's going to add an aspect to see kind of the in-game changes the between-game changes that Coach Casey employs now that Blake isn't part of the equation and what kind of things he might try with a lineup of these young guys, or if he'll just go with what they've gone with here for the last couple games and try to get the same type of consistency from, in minutes and in rotations with these guys.
Yeah, and obviously we're taking a look at the same players there, and I'll be interested to see if those matchups change at all. Vucevic has his way mostly with Mason Plumlee, and I'd be interested to see if Isaiah Stewart's minutes go up. It was 20 compared to 28 for Plumlee, but obviously the starters and the finishers matched up with each other, and that's Plumlee and Vucevic. So maybe more Stewart Vucevic minutes could be part of the equation.
And that's exactly who you got to watch out for on this Magic team. He went for 37-12 against Detroit on Sunday night. And he was joined by Evan Fournier, who had 29 points, 7 assists, and 7 rebounds for the Magic. And then off the bench, Terrence Ross is also another option for them. He had 17 points to lead the bench unit with the Magic. But those are the only three players that scored over double digits against the Pistons on Sunday night. And they're going to be the same three guys that you're really going to have to watch out for coming up here on Tuesday.
Chume Ukeke came off the bench for the Orlando Magic. I think he was picked right after Sekou last year, and he was out. Everyone knew going into the draft that he was out for his whole rookie season because he blew out his ACL for Auburn at the end of the year. And then the Magic picked him up and didn't sign him until this year. They did that, picked him that high, knowing that they wouldn't sign him because he would be out for the whole season. So they kind of started his window of a rookie this year, despite the fact that he has been a pro for two seasons. A little bit of a weird salary cap maneuver there. So I'm interested to watch him. And James Ennis, the former Piston out there. And yeah, just a team in Orlando with Fultz out, with Gordon out, with Jonathan Isaac out as well, and Cole Anthony too. So, I mean, four rotation guys. Now, they're just killed with injuries right now, but still, the Magic just smell a little bit of, like, Pistons last year to me in that it's going okay, but not that great in terms of how the build of that team's going. I wonder if they blow it up, if they make a move at the deadline here, especially a guy like, Terrence Ross can help any team around the NBA coming off the bench and stroking threes like he does. You could see him being helpful. But speaking of guys that could be helpful to teams around the NBA, how about that old Blake Griffin guy? No news right now that he's away from the team, still able to use the facilities and all that. Sounds like a mutual agreement between Blake's folks, Blake's team, and the Pistons team. And I threw out a poll question on Twitter last week just because I'm curious, and I don't really have this answer. I wanted to see, take the temperature of Pistons fans. And the question was, what's your guess for how much Blake Griffin will agree to sacrifice of his 21-22 salary in a buyout agreement? Just to refresh a little bit, Blake's got like $36 million due this year. And everything that I've heard and would assume on my own is that Blake will get his full money this year. Now, if he gives up money, it could be a little bit prorated into this year. Not important to what I'm – my main point here, but – let's say, you know, $38.9 million is the player option next year. All indications are he picks that up this summer. So of that $38.9 million, or I guess of the $50-plus million he's due from the Pistons from now until the end of that contract next year, how much would you guess that he gives up? And again, we're all kind of guessing at this point. It's going to be a negotiation between the team and the player, but it seems like a good faith one and that they're on good sides and both working towards this common goal. So I threw out there as the four choices, and here's how you guys voted. 173 votes on Twitter. $2.5 million. The reason I picked that one is because that is about the veteran minimum. So you could see Blake starting at that and saying, well, that might be what I get next year in a contract, so I'll give that up. 8.1% of you voted for that. Between the range of 3 and 7 million, 13.3% of you voted for that. Between the range of 8 and 14 million, 43.9% of people voted for that, the highest of all these choices. And 14 plus million, 34.7% of that. Now, of course, you're a Pistons fan. You want him to give up as much as possible because you get more salary cap next year and you could possibly have some flexibility with the team in an offseason that's not hugely impactful because the Pistons, regardless, won't have much salary cap as it stands right now. And there's just not many free agents out there, but you always like that flexibility. But Brian, I was just kind of thinking about this. And even when I put that poll out, does this feel like it's like crosses the line in some ways? I know we talk about athletes' money all the time, but like with Blake, it's like literally how much money is he going to give up so that he could go play for someone else? Am I totally off base for saying that this is like a weird conversation to be having on a podcast like this?
This whole conversation has deteriorated so much to this so quickly, right? Like we were talking about mentoring and we knew that the wins weren't going to be there this year, but obviously the level of play and the losses obviously started frustrating Blake for him to, seemingly initiate this sort of move. And I think what we're watching is a guy who maybe thought there was 2 or 3 years left in the tank to kind of coast and try to, you know, add to his resume here in the last couple of years is maybe coming to the realization that 2 or 3 years was a little aspirational and it's not going to go that long. Whether it's, you know, I don't think it's over now. I think there is another chapter that he's going to attempt, but everything we've seen this year, it doesn't look like there's much left. And I think a team's not going to be getting him thinking that he's going to have a huge impact on what they're looking to do. I think teams will be looking at him as a rotation piece, the ones that do. And that's just, I don't think, something that anybody expected to be talking about so quickly, since the last time that we did see him fully healthy, he was playing at an extremely high level. But it seems like him coming back in those playoffs and everything that went happened last year with his knee is just taking a toll on this guy. And his body type, those usually aren't slow, you know, breakdowns. Those usually are kind of off a cliff. And I think we've kind of gotten to the point where we've seen it, and I think we're going to watch a really proud, talented, great, you know, pick the adjective you want, athlete, starting to realize that maybe the sun is setting on a career that a little bit, you know, sooner than he was hoping.
Yeah, and maybe that's some of that's a little bit positive too. Like maybe he wants to start the next phase of his life, which, you know, he's a very talented guy, and it seems like comedy is probably the way he wants to go. He does podcast projects in the off season and all that too. So maybe, yeah, just, I do want to do this sunset of my career. Now that said, he's 31 years old, and I agree with you about what you said. And he's 31 years old in age only. I mean, he plays like a 36-year-old or older. So, but maybe there is like this. He could maybe extend that career as a bench player, useful locker room kind of guy, if that's his thing. But I think it's just a couple more years. See how the rest of this year goes with however he ends up. Now, I think you reached out to James Edwards on Athletic, and I don't think he was reporting at all. He was just guessing, but kind of opined or guessed that this could be like a done by the All-Star break kind of thing. And that rings true to me, that you'd probably want to go into the next half of the season with this thing kind of resolved at this point. I did listen to a couple of the national podcasts where guys like Bobby Marks and also Nate Duncan, who had a rough weekend on the Twitter machine as well. But talking about the $5 million number is maybe what the league folks expect that Blake Griffin would give up to the Pistons. And that wouldn't be – I wouldn't hate him or fault him for that. But then the Twitter poll with the Pistons fans thinking more like 8 to 14 and some people thinking more like 14 plus. Again, I don't know. It's just you're making guesses at this point. But, yeah, I would say more than the 5 but less than the 14. So I would probably vote like a lot of the people did.
I would probably – that would be my hope, is 8 to 14 would be what I was hoping for. You've got to assume he's getting significant pressure from the players' union to obviously give up the least amount as possible. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly what precedence here. So I'm sure that's going to be an influence in everything as well, and probably not a small one either. So I'd hope for the 8 to 14, but I'd expect probably, you know, I'd hope for the best, but expect the worst. And, you know, I think the worst here is in that $5 million range.
That's a great point you made about the Players Association. I'm glad you brought that up, because if it's a $5 million thing that Blake gives up, first of all, that's better than he needed to do, right? And that's better than he had to do. And he's also doing right by the players around the league and the next person who's going to go through this. And maybe the next person that's going to go through this isn't a guy who's made $200 million in his career, or is a guy who you're talking percentages and they've been living on minimum contracts for a few years and hope to take care of their family for as long as possible. So a great point there by you. So congratulations. Thanks for that.
Yeah, 1 point me.
But that'll do it. Now that Brian's made a great point, we're going to wrap it up here on Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. He is brother Brian. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan, and check out Locked On Timberwolves for Ryan Saunders' firing reaction as well. Have a great day. We'll be back with you guys Wednesday, if not sooner.